Thank you, Balint, Tomulki, and thank you for having me here to talk about IBM and my ongoing research in IBM history of your region. Without further introduction, so just want to say that I'm a historian by training, so that it won't come as a surprise what I will tell you in a moment. So it's a bit different angle, perhaps, from what you are used to hear. Well, you all know about IBM in this region, and you know more than me, and I'm happy to learn from you about these IBM developments that were also very influential in the Central and Eastern Europe of the Cold War times. And I think IBM used this term Central and Eastern Europe all through the period because they wanted to be polite and of course also truthful and point that this actually was a very central part of the Europe. And what I'm talking about is a part of a larger project on history of computing in Europe that I have been part of and part of my own research, which is based on the idea that computing history needs to be very international, and it was very transnational from the start. And we have been, you know, we wanted to explore that in several projects that have been going on during this early part of this century. And my question for this IBM research has basically been a kind of survey: how has IBM been present in this region? What could it do in the Cold War circumstances? How did it contribute to development on this you know, so eastern side of the so-called Iron Curtain? Well, it's a big topic. Many countries, a long time period. So I'm today only answering this by concentrating on some key periods, and hope to be continuing with this also with your help later on. And perhaps I'll say that when I get past this stage, I'll be especially interested in any local innovations or the kind of local input that came from these countries to IBM and IBM technology used in this region. So I'll talk about the punch card era first, a bit about manufacture in that era, the late 40s, and the divisions that it meant for this region, nationalizations, and also surviving companies. Then about selling IBM computers to Central and Eastern Europe, especially from the mid-60s onwards, and then just a few words about the shift in the late 80s. I haven't covered the 80s that well, so I'll be especially happy to learn more about that period. The first IBM products, or they weren't called IBM products, but Hollerith machines in Europe were used in Vienna already in 1891. So this is really an early start outside of the US for Hollerith machines. I'm sure you know about this too. I don't know what effect did those tests have on these neighboring countries, or Hungary being part of the Habsburg Empire. But anyway, it started early. Then the first subsidiary in Central Europe was established in Czechoslovakia in 1927. That was, I think that was the sixth in whole of Europe. So that was very early. And then several IBM companies in the mid-30s, when IBM was expanding in Europe beyond these kind of biggest countries, which were first to get an IBM company, and then expanding to the smaller ones, including Finland, where I'm coming from, and including, for instance, Hungary, which was established IBM Hungary in 1936. And then they also quite soon established punch card presses to make punch cards close to users. And the first in the region was I think in Prague in 1930. Then later in the 30s, one was established in one punch card plant in Budapest, and I guess also in Romania and Poland. So these were perhaps this kind of very very old carol press type, which there is a picture in the IBM archives website. And the card printing spread in the region. Just a few words on IBM in Europe. All this early part was led by Thomas Watson Sr., that you can see there. He was also the chairman of the International Chamber of Commerce in the late 30s and toured around in Europe and also in Eastern Europe at that time. Some of the main sources that I've been using are records from the IBM main archives in the US. They have a few papers also about these developments also, of course. And then they published this personnel magazine that was international from late 40s onwards. Also I've been using memoirs and having this kind of transnational approach to this topic. Here's one early picture of the 1930s. Polish organization having a meeting, and you can see Watson Senior looking there in the back mirror, and I think this is from Janusz Zaborski's archives, which is maybe somewhere in the U.S. or maybe in the archive IBM archives. I'm not sure. This is from a presentation that I found online. Well, I skipped the war period and go to the post-war developments. I mean, there's some controversy on the issue of what was happening when the Soviet troops were defeating the German troops and expanding in the Eastern Europe and Central Europe. I mean, the American interpretation, at least in the 60s, was that the Soviet troops were eager to confiscate every IBM item that they found, but I guess they didn't find all the equipment, but quite a few IBM machines were left in these countries. Perhaps some more, or I don't know how much of that was taken to Soviet Union. But then the late 40s meant several divisions. Also inside the East, if you look at this IBM history, for example, IBM Poland was in bad shape and kind of ceased to exist, and its manager Janusz Zaborski escaped. Maybe 48 or something like that, and became a big man in IBM Brazil. Its managing director, I think, in the 60s. He was perhaps the kind of highest-ranking IBM officer to come from this region in the post-war times. IBM Czechoslovakia was doing well with punch card machines in the 40s until the coup and when the environment went crazy for them, but it kept on for a couple of years at least. And then I'm not sure what happened, but I guess it was somehow dissolved. There was the GoCom embargo on technology. But for example, in Hungary, the census was performed by IBM in 1950, the same year that IBM's CEO in Hungary was jailed in 1950. And after a show trial, and sentenced to, I think, 5 years in prison, he was able to get out during the revolution period, I think, in 1956, and then soon after left the country at that time. But quietly, IBM Hungary carried on and was able to provide these punch card machines that were also brought from Western Europe. And of course, in Western Europe, things were going on that had a close relation to this trouble in the eastern part of Europe. I mean, Marshall Plan was something that helped IBM in Western Europe, and first IBM computer was imported in 1955 to Paris. And IBM was expanding manufacturing in many Western European countries. And in the US, of course, in the 40s, John von Neumann, was consulting IBM. So in that sense, the influence was clear from people from this region. And then, of course, what was best known IBM product in the post-war times were the electric typewriters that you can see there in an advertisement. And I think those were easier to import than say computers, because they weren't that anyway strategic. I'm not sure about that, but I guess it was much easier. Well, the competitors came in first, I think, the IBM's Western competitors. And IBM was worried that they were losing this region to competitors from England or Great Britain and also from the US. And I think they were talking to governments in both directions, I mean, in the Central Europe and in the US especially, to get permission to start, you know, big business or this kind of computing business in Central and Eastern Europe. And they succeeded by 1965 at least, when they started this Austria Control Center in Vienna. And it was led from the start by this Ralph Stafford, that I don't know much about, but I know the name, and I guess he was American, I don't know his background any more than that. But he was the first leader of that organization. That was soon named IBM Regional Office Europe for Central and East. So the Austrians, I guess, were central for this rosy business. But they also had people from many other Western European countries to help out the rosy organization that were coming over to Central Eastern European countries helping those IBM sales. And here's a product example, an IBM 1401 that was, I guess, one of the first machines to be imported. And they actually made those printers in Sweden for all of Europe, and I guess also for this part of Europe. I think the marketing for IBM Rosie was based on exhibitions, touring exhibitions. And Connolly in his 1967 book says that Hungary purchased his first IBM computer that year. I don't know if that's correct, but that was anyway the idea that they had in late 60s. Anyway, they were in seven countries in the early 70s. Also in East Germany, and also helping IBM Hungary, which was the kind of the biggest organization, IBM Hungary. Here are a couple of pictures. I'm not completely sure what the text says, but I think Arthur Watson was visiting IBM Hungary in 66, because they were also turning 30 years at that time. And then there's the IBM Support Center established early 70s. And then there's the influence from the East, in a way. I mean, because of the unified system that we've been hearing a lot today, IBM sort of IBM influence also came from the East, and different countries were producing and also exporting this kind of IBM clones to fellow Comecon countries
and also abroad a bit. Actually, they also established a joint venture in Finland, Finnish-Soviet joint venture. And the point was to export these unified system computers to Western countries and also to Finland. They succeeded in selling some at least, but it wasn't like a huge success. But it anyway, interesting turn, I think, in this history. And if any one of you know more about that, I would be glad to hear what you know about that. And then IBM, when the relations between the superpowers was getting better in the early 70s. IBM was also able to expand sales to the Soviet Union. Also in Soviet Union, they had both domestic and this kind of original IBM produced IBM equipment. So I think it's an interesting mix of influences and a lot of IBM there, as well as a lot of computers from the competitors, as we have heard already today. Then there was the Cold War coming back in the early 80s, increasing restrictions on technology for some time at least, and of course personal computers and many other developments in the late 80s that I won't go into now, but we also seen the Videoton and many other things, products here in the museum. And it's an interesting period that I won't really touch that much. But after the regime change in the late 80s, I think IBM was very early to invest again in Central and Eastern Europe, and it kind of establishing plants and otherwise investing. And I think in some ways the region regained the pre-war role that it had. Maybe you could say something like that. So to conclude, IBM was very early in the Central and Eastern European countries, and after World War II, there was a very kind of divided history also inside the socialist camp. And what I think I would like to look more closely in the future would be this kind of how IBM was present in many ways in this region. I mean, from being an ideal that was followed from a distance to getting written materials and other information about IBM machines, and then to actual getting in the actual mainframes and education in the West, and also say in Yugoslavia where we heard that there was a training center for IBM. But then there were also the competitors were present here, so it's an interesting mix, an interesting competition going on in the Central and Eastern European countries. And maybe in the end, you know, one can give a plausible estimation of how big an influence all this had on computing in this region. Why don't I stop here? Thank you.